Well, this morning, guys, we've got a message that I believe is the message of the heart of God. And I believe this message can be shared in many different ways and in many different veins. But today we're going to talk about this topic, and we're going to talk about it regarding the body of Christ, believers, Christians. And it's all about a spirit of unity. How many of you know that there is a spirit running rampant in the church today, and it's a spirit of disharmony, of division, a spirit of offense? It separates people from doing God's work. It separates bodies. It splits churches. It divides homes. And I believe one of the greatest tools of the enemy to stop us from the mighty move of God happening in our lives is division and strife. And the Word of God says where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. So one of the things, when God gave me this message several years ago, one of the things that really struck me is that as much as it depends on me, and there's a scripture that actually says this, in as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Now, you and I both know there are some times and some people that will not allow us to live in peace with them. However, even in that situation, we have to make a quality decision not to foster division, not to be the one that causes the problem. And many times, you know, the Bible says that it's blessed to overlook an offense. We have to be willing to not engage in negativity, not engage in backbiting and gossip and slander. So if you're living in a situation, I lived in a situation for many years that was very difficult. There was a lot of unhappiness on the part of the person that I was living with, my husband at the time. But one of the things I had to learn was that I had to learn to walk in peace, walk in love, and walk in joy, even when he was choosing not to. So for some of you listening to this message, you may be in a situation like that. The one thing that I learned is that I didn't have to always be right, and I didn't have to always share my opinion about everything. And that's another thing that's a little bit difficult for me because I'm really a strong person. I'm a strong woman, and I do have very strong ideas and feelings and opinions. But a lot of times I would just get that sense as I would pray that God just said, you know, just be still. Just be quiet, be still, let me work this out. So sometimes we have to do that. And the Bible also says we're to pursue peace, we're to go after it. So it's going to be something we're going to have to actively do. So John 17:23 says, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. So Jesus is basically saying that the reason we must be in unity as a body of believers is to let the world know about Jesus, because they're watching us. You know, the world that is not following Christ is watching people that are very vocal about being Christians. One of the things that has burdened my heart so much over the years is that so many people that talk about Jesus, talk about God, they're always kind of preaching to people or talking to people about it. Many times their actual day-to-day lifestyle doesn't reflect the love of God. People see them in strife, or people see them and hear them talking about a coworker or not being able to handle something that's happening. We have to remember that we are on display all the time, and how we dress, how we speak, who we're hanging out with, what we're doing really does matter. What we post on Facebook really does matter, because you cannot consistently live in a manner that is inconsistent with who you say you are. And if you say you're a Christ follower, then we got to get into the Word of God and find out just what that means, because I'm telling you, it's not a free ride, it's not an easy ride, and it's not a do whatever you feel like doing, because God's full of grace and mercy. Well, obviously, He is full of grace and mercy. That doesn't give us license to do whatever we feel like doing. In Philippians 1:2, the Word says, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind, one purpose, having the same love, being in one accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Can you imagine what a group, a church, a business, a family, a home, a body of believers could do if they simply followed this one scripture, Philippians 1 and 2. Living in harmony, being of the same mind, having one purpose, having the same love, being in one accord, one harmonious mind and intention. It doesn't mean that we never disagree with each other. It doesn't mean that we never have a difference of opinion. But what it does mean is that when we do, we work through it together. But it takes two people surrendered to Jesus Christ and his lordship to be able to do that. Because quite frankly, whenever there's strife and division, someone has taken Jesus off the throne and have put themselves on it. And listen, guys, we're all guilty of it from time to time. We are. But we've got to be so surrendered to him that he can quicken our spirit to say, wait a minute, this is not right. This is not the way I want to be. This is not how I want to live my life. So we have got to exercise, work it out. And he says in Ephesians 4, 3, and 7, be eager and strive earnestly to guard. So think about this, eager. You think about it as something that's eager. It's just like there. It's like an energy that you can feel. And then he says to strive earnestly, and that word earnestly simply means with passion and great intent. So the bottom line is we have to have great intent to be able to do this. We can't just stroll along through life and think that harmony and unity and coming together is going to fall in our lap. It's going to be something we're going to have to strive for. We're going to have to make an intention that we're going to do this. And then he says, keep the harmony and oneness of the Spirit in the binding power. Somebody needs to underline that or write it down. Power of unity. So there's power in unity. If you feel like your life right now has less power than it needs, or you're feeling powerless, less than powerful, if your church is not full of power, is it a unified church? Is your home a unified home? Because there is power in unity. 1 Corinthians 12 and 25 says, this is strong, guys. There should be no division, no discord, no lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to one another, but the members alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. Can you imagine a marriage like that where both members, husband and wife, have a mutual interest in and care for one another? And a body of believers, a church that has a mutual interest in and a care for one another. No division, no discord, no lack of adaptation. Now let's look at that for a minute. Does that mean that we will not disagree? No. Does that mean that we're going to always think the same way? No. But he says there should be no lack of adaptation. What does that mean, to adapt? To adapt means we've got to be flexible. We've got to be flexible. You know that old saying, it's my way or the highway. You know, that's really a saying that a lot of people live by. And they don't want any correction. They don't want anybody having a difference of opinion. And then they pick up that spirit of offense and carry it around with them. And one of the things God showed me one day, when I was thinking about offense and people being offended, and you see it a lot in Christian circles. It's just ridiculous. But he said to me one day, you have to pick up offense. Offense doesn't just jump on you. It doesn't just suddenly jump on you and cling to you and you can't get rid of it. You literally have to pick up, just like you would pick up a heavy box or pick up a suitcase. You literally have to pick it up and carry it with you. Because being offended is a choice. And I got to say that one of the things that God showed me is that we've got to forgive others to be forgiven. And we're going to cover that again in just a minute. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'll give you that scripture. So Jesus Christ is our mutual interest. He is the number one common denominator that we have. And the key is to have him on the throne of our heart and on the throne of our lives. So 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says, But I urge you and I entreat you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, guys, that all of you be in perfect harmony, in full agreement in what you say. Now, he didn't say be in full agreement on what you think. He said be in full agreement in what you say. So here we go. All of us are to be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what we say. So we come together, we air our differences, we come to a common conclusion, and this is what we go to the world with. This is what we say. Okay, there's to be no dissensions or factions or divisions among you. That's why I don't like denominations. That's just one reason. They divide people. It's like you're wearing a badge that you're some denomination. Now, I'm not trying to meddle in anybody's business, and you may love your denomination, and that's fine. But the problem is we've got to come together under one umbrella of Jesus Christ, even if our doctrine may vary a little bit. But we've got to have one thing in common and one message, and that be the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because the rest of it, honestly, a lot of it is opinion, and a lot of it is traditions of men. And we get so caught up in what we've been taught and trained as kids and the traditions we grew up with. And early on in my life, God took me on a journey to different denominations and going to different types of churches and really seeing. But he pulled me out and into just a spirit of unity that if we can just all come together with Jesus Christ as our mutual interest, we could change the world. Ephesians 2:14 says, He himself, Jesus, is our peace. He is our bond of unity, and he has made us one body. Romans 12:5 says, So as numerous as we are, one body in Christ, and individually, we are parts one another, mutually dependent on one another. We're supposed to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, Just as the body is a unity and has many parts, think about your physical body. Okay, you got legs, you got arms, you got a head, you got a torso, you got a heart, you got kidneys, you got lungs. Now, can you imagine one part of your physical body standing alone and surviving? It's not possible. You can't just have a leg and have a whole person. You can't just have a heart beating and have life. And basically what God is saying, he says, So it is with Christ, many parts forming one body. So here we are coming together, the hearts, the legs, the lungs, the head, the torso, the feet, everything that we need. When we come together, we are unstoppable. This is why the enemy wants to divide. This is why he comes in so strongly to tempt us to be offended, to tempt us to divide and to separate from one another. So what's the problem? Why do we struggle with unity in the church, particularly, and in our communities? Well, Jeremiah 17:9 says, The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it? Who can perceive and understand and be acquainted with his own heart and mind? So we must guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, Guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that, you guard it. I mean, he is saying, you got to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Proverbs 13:10 says, By pride and insolence, and this is really important, by pride and insolence, comes only contention, but with the well-advised is skillful and godly wisdom. So we know that pride is a big issue. And when we become prideful, it opens up the door for division. We've got to have our way. So we choose not to be offended. We walk in love, the first fruit of the spirit of love. When we're not walking in love, we're not walking in the spirit, but the flesh. Ephesians 4:2 and 6 says, Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Listen to that, guys. That sounds like unity to me. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments, and I live on in his love. And then Jesus once again goes back and says, listen to this, guys, that my joy and delight, this is Jesus talking, may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure, complete, and overflowing. So we endeavor and strive to walk in love. Colossians 3:12-14, write this one down if you've got a pen. He says, put on, that means we have to make a conscious effort to do this, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Now here's what he's telling us to put on, okay? Put on a compassionate heart. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness and patience, bearing with one another. It sounds to me like that God knew we would have opportunity to get upset with each other. So he's telling us, you got to put this on. You got to make a conscious decision. You're going to have to bear with one another. You're going to get irritated with each other from time to time. He says simply this: if you have a complaint against each other, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. So we give each other mercy. And the definition of mercy is unmerited favor, compassion, kindly forbearance shown toward an offender. Now listen to this, an offender or an enemy. So, hey, we can have mercy all day long with the people that love us. And that we love, it's easier to have mercy on them. But when somebody offends you and somebody's an enemy and they're coming against you and they're speaking ill of you and they're saying ugly things about you, oh my goodness, and it happens. It happens. And you know that hurting people hurt people. And somehow if we get to see people through the eyes of Jesus, it's got to be our disposition to show mercy, to be compassionate and forbearing. And then he says in Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And that's the key in that scripture, is because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they persecute you. So we know that we're going to have sometimes when people are going to say things about us, when we're going to be insulted, people may persecute us. But then he goes on to say, now this is where it's non-negotiable, non-negotiable forgiveness. Whether they've ever asked for forgiveness or not makes absolutely no difference. But he says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, and this is scripture, this is not me. If you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Matthew 6:14-15. Brothers and sisters, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a decision. You may not feel the feelings of forgiveness. You may have to make a decision every day to forgive that person. You may have to make a decision 10 times a day because they may come back over and over again and do things that cause you to feel that feeling of anger and offendedness. But I'm telling you, make a conscious decision every single time. Say, Lord, I forgive them. For they know not what they do. So many times people are deceived. They're blinded by the enemy. They don't realize what they're doing. I started praying over a year ago, Lord, let me see people through your eyes. Give me the eyes of Jesus to see the world around me. Mark 11:25-26 says, whenever you stand praying, here we go, guys, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, and he says anything against anyone, And then he says, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive yours. Mark 11, 25, 26. Guys, this is strong stuff. So the question today is this. What do we do when we fall and fail? What do we do when we mess up? Because guess what? We are human beings. We have not reached perfection. There are going to be times when we are going to mess up. Psalm 37, 23 through 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. And in Proverbs 24, 16, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again. Seven times and rises up again. So if you are a good man or a good woman, he says your steps are ordered of the Lord, but when you fall, you will not be utterly cast down. You will rise up again. But my friends, we can't accomplish this in our own strength. We have to be vitally connected to God and to his will for our lives and surrendered. He has to be on the throne. There is no room for us on the throne of our own lives. John 15, 4 through 5 says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. The only way that we can bear fruit in this life is dwelling in him, and that he promises that he will come to dwell in us. The enemy desires to divide and conquer us, but I believe with all my heart that God gave me this message on unity because there is so much more that unifies us than divides us. There's so much more that we have in common than we disagree about, and it's time for us to focus in on that. The time is short. The time is at hand. There's so much work to do. If the enemy can keep us running around mad at each other and confused, and I believe a lot of the reasons people are confused about what God would have for them to do is that they're in strife with someone. When you're in strife with someone, there's confusion and every evil work. So right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of confusion. We come against the spirit of strife. We stand against the deceitful ways of the enemy to derail us, to take us off course. Father God, we love you. We choose today to forgive every single person within the sound of my voice right now, Lord God. We make a quality conscious decision to forgive those who have hurt us, forgive those who have wounded and persecuted us, forgive those who perhaps even years ago did something to us, and even now we have been carrying the pain of that. And Lord, today we lay it at your feet. We surrender it. We put it on the altar as a sacrifice of praise to you, God. And we say that as an act of our will, we choose to forgive. As an act of our will, we put down that suitcase of offense. And Father God, I thank you that now our joy is complete in you as we walk together in harmony and in unity with one another. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.